Earlier this week, Royal Wealth Management brought Helen Ziller, currently chairman of the Federal Council of the Democratic Alliance, previous premier of the Western Cape and previous mayor of Cape Town and prospective mayor of Johannesburg at the moment, if the stories are to be believed. Royal brought Helen Ziller out to Namibia to address a select group of its clients and gave us the opportunity to catch up with the esteemed politician.
Welcome to the lead story here on the Business Report. I'm Gary Struhl. I'm joined by Helen Ziller. Welcome, Helen, to Namibia.
It's great to be in Namibia, Gary. And I worked here many years ago on the Toonhulle negotiations, probably before you were born.
Thank
and so it's wonderful to be here. And I had forgotten how much I love this landscape.
Tell us what you're doing up here.
Well, I'm here to chat to a few people who are interested in investing in the subcontinent and who want to know a little bit about the future of the politics of the government of national unity specifically, and then the whole region in general.
So perhaps you can just give us a sneak preview into what do you think the GNU does hold for the region?
Well, at the moment, the GNU is stable, but it's a very interesting animal. It's not a normal coalition, and it's not a government of national unity. That's just its name. It is a working arrangement between major parties and smaller parties who continue to govern in specific portfolios while largely retaining their own identities and often being in opposition with one another. Now, any coalition in Europe would not have survived a moment on the basis of the way we manage things, because the bad faith that has characterized our attempts to get an agreement to stick are the kinds of things that would blow coalitions apart in Europe. But this is Africa, and we learn to manage things our way. And the big question is, in politics, is always compared to what? And obviously, it's not an ideal coalition and not what we would ideally like. But compared to the alternative, it's a lot better. If we are to have the ANC and the EFF and MK in South Africa, we wouldn't have a 0.1% growth rate in the first quarter of this year. We would have had a very largely negative growth rate. So what we're doing is we're trying to stabilize policy and most particularly remove the barriers to investment and growth. And it is better to have the DA in the government to achieve those outcomes than outside of the government. And that is basically our position and our argument. And it is stable for now, and there's even a chance it might go the whole way. The biggest test of the GNU will be when President Ramaphosa is replaced by the ANC at the end of 2027 when they have their Congress. That'll be the most testing moment as far as I can see into the future.
We did have an interesting little shop window into the dynamics of the GNU and South Africa in general recently, as Namibians were all glued to our screens as the delegation to the White House went through what was inevitably going to be an interesting half hour or so.
It's a theater that the President Trump puts on in the Oval Office.
So perhaps as a critic of that theater, I must say for many of my friends and family, they came away feeling quite proud that South Africa had managed that very tricky situation quite well, but you might have a different view.
Look, I thought we managed it as well as it was possible to manage it. I mean, President Trump is unpredictable, and he got us in there to embarrass us, obviously. He wanted us to be embarrassed. And it is embarrassing when Julius Malema gets up in front of a crowd of 90,000 people and sings about killing his fellow countrymen. And no one anywhere in the world understands that in the context of the struggle and the struggle songs. They think you can't do that kind of thing. And most people in South Africa, I think that you can't do that kind of thing either. And so it was a performance that reverberated around the world, and I think showed the enormous forbearance of South Africans in being able to accommodate that kind of violent hate speech in a context where we still make progress together. So I think the dynamic between our president, Ramaphosa, and John Steenhuisen, the leader of the DA, which is the largest coalition partner, but ironically also the largest opposition partner, because that is still the role we play in government. I thought the dynamic was interesting and good, and I thought the Gulf has probably helped defuse things a bit. So it was a bit of political theater, a little spectacle, and a little diversion, I think.
Zoom back out a little bit and just talk about Namibia as a neighbor to South Africa. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on how important regional development is versus the often very internal struggle South Africa faces to stabilize its ownership. How important are these countries that surround South Africa?
Well, they're incredibly important. I mean, Namibia is actually a beacon of hope in many ways. Because Namibia has stabilized into a multi-party democracy. Now, obviously, you have your problems. Every country does, believe me, around the world. You have corruption. You have an attempt, very minor attempt at state capture, to ensure that institutions bend to the will of the majority party. You have your massive unemployment challenges. You have your challenges with substance abuse and alcohol and all of those kinds of things. But in the main, you're a stable country where people get on with each other, where the economy is growing, and where there is investment. And that is a wonderful thing in the world today. So Namibia and Botswana are the role models of the region. And then the biggest tragedy in the region is Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe had more going for it than any of the rest of us. They had a flourishing economy at one point. They had really functional and viable institutions, internal institutions. They have wonderful agricultural land and rain and everything else. That country could have been the pumping economic heart of Southern Africa. But you get bad government and you get people who try and impose centralization, and you could almost call it Stalinist control, with the leader of the biggest party controlling the party controlling the state, and the state controlling the economy. That's what you get, and we should learn. And the millions of Zimbabweans in South Africa attest to that. They cannot survive in their own countries, and they come to our country. And many of them are adding value in that economy too. Although obviously you can't generalize about everyone, there are criminals as well amongst them. So Zimbabwe is a tragedy in the region. In many ways, so is Mozambique, especially the highly contested election that they ran at the end of last year and the violence that followed, and ISIS and Islamic extremism in the north of that country, which is a huge risk to the stability of the subcontinent in any case. So I think it's most stable in the west, where Namibia is, and then gets less and less and less stable as you go east. And that's unfortunate. So we've got a lot of work to do, and we can learn a lot from Namibia and Botswana.
So let's just pivot quickly into where the region does specifically cooperate. That's around the Southern African Customs Union, which is one of the oldest, it is the oldest customs union in the world, set in place just over 100 years ago, was reset about 20 odd years ago. But there's been recently quite a lot of grumbling from South Africa around how those receipts are divvied up. And how important is a structure like that, which the vast majority of people never encounter in their lives? And I would imagine even in from a government perspective, it's not always a front of mind, but from a regional development perspective.
Well, I think the more joint institutions and agreements that work that we have, the better. I think that our fates are very much intertwined. And it's good that we separate countries, because then some succeed and others can learn from their success and apply the lessons where relevant. But the more cooperation we can get, the more proper trade we can get. And in many ways, the more open we can be to trade in Africa, the better for everybody.
Helen, in your time, you've held leadership positions both at a city level, at a provincial level, state level, and then at a national level as well. And maybe you're faced with some unique developmental challenges. Oil is wonderful, oil is evil, and both can be true at the same time. We genuinely face a battle of national economic development versus localized economic development. Windhoek and Walvis Bay are both set for enormous growth over the next 10 years. You've operated at all the different levels, and quite often what's good for the city isn't good for the country or vice versa, or isn't good for another region. How do you balance that sort of localized e-force development with what's happening at a national level?
Believe me, what is good for cities is good for countries. Cities link the local population with the economy, and they link the national economy with the global economy and with the international economy. So the fact that there's going to be huge investment in Swakop, in Walvis, and in Windhoek is a very, very good thing for Namibia. And I hope you'll attract skills. The critical thing you'll have to do is to grow your own timber of skills as well. You have to make sure that you understand what skills are needed by the economy and that your schools and training colleges are preparing people for the jobs that will become available. Otherwise, you'll have to import workers when you have massive unemployment, which is always politically unsustainable. So it's going to be very important for planning to happen. What you have to do is invest in infrastructure. Absolutely critical. You've got to do your 30-year horizon plan. You've got to work out the demographics. You've got to look where growth is happening. You've got to invest in the infrastructure. You've got to invest in the skills. And you've got to make sure that your plans are in place to accommodate that growth. Otherwise, it'll be more chaos than help.
And perhaps lastly, the Western Cape is our neighbor. We have a lot of industries in common between Namibia and the Western Cape. Where are there perhaps areas where there could be greater cooperation from a provincial level into the Namibian economy?
Well, I would very much like, from a political point of view, now not from an economic point of view, but from a political point of view, I would love to work very closely with political parties here in Namibia, because we have a really important and shared interest in making our country successful democracies. And that requires strong political parties with strong internal institutions and accountability, with clear policies, and with the ability to attract real talent into the political realm. And so I'd love to work with the political parties in Namibia to learn from them, and perhaps there's something that they can still learn from the Democratic Alliance, which has been a growing party sustainably over a long time. So that's the one thing where I think an area of cooperation could really happen, to the mutual benefit of our democracies, our respective democracies. But then we've got this wonderful harbour at Saldanha, and you've got this magnificent harbour at Walvis, and we could really make sure that we land gas and ensure that those harbours are really functional for trade, not only regionally, but right across the west coast of Africa and globally. So I think that that is a very important part. The shipping zones still to the east of Africa are a bit unstable for all the reasons that I've spoken about. We can have enormous cooperation through exports and imports through our harbours, and making sure that these are the most functional harbours on the African continent. Currently, Durban is doing very well. They've resurrected their harbour. Cape Town, tragically, is the most inefficient harbour in the world, just about. I think there's one worse than we are. And it's very embarrassing because it's in a functional province, and we don't run the harbours. Obviously, national government runs the harbours. But I think we could learn a lot from efficient harbour management. So that's one area that is big. The other area that is big is tourism. Massively big. And Namibia offers a very, very different tourist experience from the Western Cape. But I think we could support each other very much in creating a regional package of tourism that would offer people literally the world in two countries. And it would be a very, very useful experience. You've got wonderful game up north. We border on Botswana, which is legendary. And of course, we have everything that you need in the Western Cape. So it's a good partnership, and I think we should keep it up.
And then you've been brought up by Royal Wealth Management to come and talk about investing.
Yeah.
We are really hoping you'll be able to take some good investing advice back to the Western Cape for some of that South African capital that's looking for growth.
Well, we might come and get some advice from you as to how you grow at 5%. I think that's the lesson that has to be learned here. You know, there's a lot of capital waiting to find investments, but without policy certainty, without a sense that the investment will be secure and that you won't have to give a third of it away. All of those things, you know, Namibia got it. They really got it. And that's why they're growing at 5%. So, you know, we're going to learn as many lessons for South Africa from here as vice versa. And you will find that there'll be a lot of South African investment in your growing, especially energy industry in Namibia.
Inazila, thank you for joining us on the Business Report.
Thank you very much.